This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is Ray Ferraro. Ray, Mike Babcock fired, Sheldon Keefe hired. How do you react to that news?
Well, when the email came, I'm sure probably like everybody else, I looked at it. And my first thought was, wow, I can't believe they did it. Even though we've been talking about it and, gee, if things don't turn around or, gee, you should get a couple more games. For me, I was looking at the gap between the first four games of this road trip. There's a couple of day break before they go to Detroit and Buffalo. And I thought that might be the, either it's turned around or it's not by there. Just in hearing you say about taking the invitation, not only did Mike Babcock take the invitation, he 100% seemed to be the right guy at the right time, the biggest name for the biggest franchise. And you're right, there was so much that was turned, but just not turned far enough. And once the expectations grow, sometimes this is a runaway train and something had to be done. And this is always the least complicated thing to do, is to replace the coach, because it seems like it's a virtual impossibility to make a significant player move in the middle of the season.
Ray, how similar do you think this is to this Chicago situation, where it just seemed like the GM wanted to make this move, but the roster seems similar? Like, if you look at Toronto and the Chicago situation, how similar do you think they are? And with the new coach coming into the Leafs, how much do you think he can turn this around?
You mean when Quenneville was fired?
That's right. And they brought in Colleton, yeah. And now Keefe's coming in for Babcock. Is there a chance where Keefe can actually save this and get them to the playoffs? Or how similar or not similar do you see the situations?
Well, I see it a little bit differently, only in that Joel was there for so long in Chicago that it was an easy sell to say, okay, we're going to transition into this new phase of players. We want, the guy that's been here the longest, we gave him a chance, even though it was a very short spot at the start of the year last year. And okay, we're going to move on in a different direction. This one, the expectations were different. I believe in that, they'd gotten to the playoffs. They couldn't get by Boston. And it seemed after they lost last year that, the ball started to roll downhill just a little bit, where people were saying, Babcock's stubborn, Babcock can't get them over the hump. This is 2 years in a row. They've lost to the same team in the same way, in the same place. And it felt like it was going to happen in Chicago, and it kind of felt over the last couple of weeks like it was going to happen here, even though the talk was kind of whispered around in the summertime. As far as turning the team around, as much as I think I know about the way Sheldon Keefe coaches, I'm going to need to see the way that this team plays under some tweaks, a new system, maybe some different roles. I would find it hard to believe that he would be as resolute or as stubborn to play Gauthier and Shore every time there's a defensive zone face-off. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. So that will be different. Maybe that'll be a few more minutes here and a few more minutes there, or guys moved into different positions. One thing we know for sure about Babcock is he is dug in. Like, the way he sees the lineup, the way he sees the game, that's not going to change much from game to game, month to month. And Keith will be a completely different different conductor of the band, right?
Breaking news again: Mike Babcock fired, Sheldon Keefe hired. He'll be behind the bench tomorrow night in Arizona with Ray Ferraro, a TSN hockey analyst. Is there a player or two you can think of that you believe will benefit the most from a new coach?
Get the Pooley bump. Pooley calls it the bump when coaches somebody else gets hired.
Well, I would say I don't know. I would think usually you can tell publicly who the coach, has a beef with because of the way they play him and the way that they do these, the way that the guy plays, the role that he plays. It seems more like there's an abrasiveness around the whole team. Like everybody, I don't know. It just, were so many guys were off their top the top of their game. I mean, I would think Tyson Berry would be thrilled.
Right.
Not to say that, you know, him and Babcock didn't get along or anything like that, because Tyson's a pretty impossible guy not to get along with. But maybe his role will completely change. Maybe the power play will become part of his deal, because I do think it's mattered everywhere else in his game. The fact that he doesn't play any minutes on the power play except for, you know, the back 30 seconds. They've acquired the wrong player in Tyson Berry for the way that they use him. Now, he's not helped matters, and his turnover yesterday was ghastly at the wrong time, certainly the wrong time. But I think he would be a player, you know, that I think of right away that would go, you know what, this will be a good thing. The first name I thought of was William Nylander, and I'm like, well, he already plays with Matthews. He already plays.
Right, what's he going to do differently? He's not going to fight because of a new coach.
Yeah, I took that back, and Barry's the one guy in particular to me that I think his role could or maybe should change a little bit, and maybe they get more out of him.
I thought Berry right away, because I think you can utilize him differently. But the one thing in, you know, calling games, Ray, we're around the benches all the time. Like, I think there has to be some accountability. And to me, if Keith wants to establish himself, like, these guys are trying out for him. Like, when a new coach comes in, you know, regardless of whether you like the previous coach, he had his preconceived notions about it. He knew if he could trust you or not. And if you were on the right side of him, you know, this was a guy he threw out there all the time. But new coaches come in, you have to reestablish yourself with him in trusted situations. So, you know, to me, if there's some soft plays or a play that Sheldon doesn't like, I saw it in Ottawa with DJ Smith. Doesn't matter what guys make financially or anything. If he doesn't like what he sees, guys sit down. He starts mixing the blender up. To me, that's where maybe Keith comes in and says, I don't see this guy going, or William Nylander's fantastic tonight. Double shift him, double down on that, or, you know, switch things up. To me, that's where I think the change can come, is utilizing players for their strengths and especially how they're going that night.
Right. But that's what I, you know, Noodles, I agree. And that's why I said earlier, like, I don't know how he runs a bench and how you run a bench in the American League when you've got the best team, the best players, you know, the deepest roster is going to be different than how he runs it in the National Hockey League. I would assume it would be different. The ice time is going to be interesting for me to watch, because everything comes off the board here, right? Like, they're, you know, will the defense pair stay the same? Will they be more aggressive getting up the ice? Will those lines that have been pretty well concreted, you know, aside from the injuries, like, will they blow those up and move some people around? I mean, I don't know. Just putting a new guy in a suit behind the bench can make a lot of difference, but it's going to come back to how the players respond to whatever the tweaks are to the system. Because, look, it was an unbelievable 8 minutes last night at the end of the game. It was so fun to broadcast, and it was so fun to see the way the game just elevated. But for the most part, how many chances really did Toronto get in the game? Did they generate in that game? The answer is not very many.
No. I didn't think they played that well. I thought they were okay.
Yeah.
But breaking news this hour, Mike Babcock has been fired. Sheldon Keefe announced as the new coach.
Ray, what do you think the most important thing when he steps into the locker room? First impressions are big when you're an inexperienced guy like that, and an experienced guy has gone out the door. What do you think the first move is, or how does he approach it? Is it, like, I don't know, just what do you say I'm the right guy?
I would say, when I think about when we had a coaching change, if the new guy was organized, like if the first practice was quick and fast and organized and on time and everybody understood the drills and we guys aren't standing around going, what the hell is this? Like, what are we doing? What was that drill? I don't even get it. Like, if it's organized and straightforward, I think that's a baby step of trust going towards the coach. Like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. Now, they would have had, I would say, well, I guess everybody really would have at least one training camp with Keith around. For many of them, they've been here for more than one camp with him, so they would know him. They would know the way when he's run practices, in training camp, they would know his terminology because each coach calls the same play something different, so they'd be familiar with him, and they probably already have a sense of what he's like, but they don't know what he's like, you know, as he is the full-time boss. So to me, it would be that he's organized and ready to go and that everybody understands it. But they better all be aware that, you know, like Jamie said earlier, like everything changes. You might be the coach's favorite guy. Well, your coach isn't here anymore, so you might not be the new guy's favorite guy. And you got to be ready for uncertainty. You have to be prepared for your role to change. When Larry Pleau took over in Hartford, they fired the first coach I'd ever had was Jack Evans. And Larry took over, and he had meetings with everybody in the first 2 days. And he told me I was going to be he coached me in Binghamton in the American League. I was really excited. I'm like, man, this is great. He came in. And he said, I see you as a fourth-line guy, a power play guy. You're going to be in and out of the lineup. I sat out the first six games. And I'm like, what the hell just happened here?
That's like, so exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The bubble was burst pretty quickly. And then we had a couple injuries, and I got in the lineup, and I scored a little bit. And then the next year, I scored 40 goals. But the point is, I thought this was going to be a good thing, and it wasn't. Mm. Not initially. And so there's going to be somebody that's going to take a poke right on the nose here, and they are not seeing it coming.
With
right?
they
don't see it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it goes. We look at Barry, and we look at other players, and
you know, he's got guys down in the Marlies that he's just dying to get up there because he's like, this guy could probably do a job. Hasn't got the opportunity. So,
well, you look at Pierre Engvall, who made his debut last night. He may have been thinking, I'm just holding the water until the boys come back, and maybe
first line left wing.
Maybe Keith looks at him a little bit differently.
You're right. We'll figure out who's going to get the Ray Ferraro treatment
pretty quickly.
I learned where the popcorn was. Damn fast.
Six games. That's the Brian Hayes maneuver. That was my OHL career, man. Forget popcorn. I was eating poutine, trying to sneak in beers if I could. with Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Again, breaking news this hour. Mike Babcock fired. Sheldon Keefe hired as the new coach of the Leafs. And the Leafs are all in on being progressive, being new wave. And I'll tell you what, the Leafs, at the best of times and the worst of times, they have the eyes of the league on them and the eyes of the country on them because they get so much attention. And right now they've lost six in a row. But we talked about this earlier, Ray. They're going from Lou Lamoriello and Mike Babcock to Kyle Dubas and Sheldon Keefe. 50% of their cap is tied up in four players. No one's done that before. They have turned a blind eye to physicality, size, toughness, the conventional wisdom that has surrounded this league and this game for a long time. And I guess it's Shanahan who was ultimately sold on that being the right course of action. And now they're all in.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple of quotes that have popped up over the last little bit. One was from Dubas, and it was online. It was like a press conference or something he was doing with season ticket holders in the Sioux, and he talked about when they fired Mike Stapleton as coach and brought in Sheldon Keefe, and he mentioned that if, you know, for this to work, everybody has to be on the same page. If one person isn't on the same page, that this system, this style, it can't work. And it was almost like foreshadowing. If you watch the clip, it was almost like he was talking about the Leafs, but it was, I don't know, however many years ago, he was talking about the Greyhounds. Like, it was eerie. The second thing was a couple of days ago, we didn't even really bring it up, but I thought it was really an odd quote, was Babcock said, you know, if my kids were younger, I wouldn't have coached in Toronto.
Yeah.
It was almost like he was, you know, he was already...
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, he knew it. Like, it was like, you know what, this... I'm not going to put my kids through this where the pressure of being fired comes like this. And, you know, of course that can be anywhere, but I found it to be an odd quote. So now these two guys, Keith and Dubas, who have a long history together, who clearly see things the same way, are now running the show. And I guess the one thing that I've thought about with Brendan Shanahan running the whole thing is that he was a greasy, tough player. And his embracing this method has always seemed odd to me, just that, you know, you generally think guys would see the game through the lens that they played it. Now, that doesn't have to be the case, right? Certainly not. There's lots of guys that never hit anybody that coached the toughest teams in the league, which is even funnier, I guess. But I thought there would be more grit and edge to their teams than certainly the way they're put together now.
And I think it's the right course of action. I don't know if it's going to work. It might be a complete failure. Again, through 23 games, it has been. They're 9-10-4. But if you're going to commit to Dubas and commit to his style of play and his philosophy of building a team, you've got to give him the coach.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you've got to hand over the keys to a new coaching hire.
Yep.
And that's what they've done here. And listen, he's used his bullet.
Yeah.
Right? We're not far into his tenure.
So tell Ray that what stage are we in right now? We're in bargaining, right?
Yeah, I went over this. Now, this might throw everything out of whack now that the head coach has been fired.
After the firing of the coach, I've been bargaining on the upside. Now,
right.
Thinking, okay, you're going to get the bump. You've got the coach that has a history with, I was counting, at least 10 or 11 guys on the roster. So he's not walking into a room where he knows the faces from TV. He knows a lot of these players and has coached them. So he's got he may have his favorites at that level, but there's some familiarity. I'm on the other side thinking, okay, they could do some damage here if Keith can get them playing the way that Kyle has envisioned.
Right.
Now, that being
sets
said,
sets them up to produce and
all
succeed.
That being said, I still think there's times where they get pushed out of the game because of the lack of bite in certain areas. But maybe.
But one thing can't be fixed, and Brian brought it up earlier, is they've got $40 million in four forwards.
Correct. Correct. And that's not changing.
And that to me is the underlying, like, you can say, oh, they got to change this and get a better backup goalie and do this and do that. You only have so much money. You got $41 million once you get past your four forwards. And that's it.
Yeah.
And so that is almost unfixable unless somewhere along the line you trade Nylander, because the other three guys aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the next biggest move that they could make.
Which, again, is not on Sheldon Keefe. It's on Dubas. But now Dubas will see the makeup of this team that he's built under the coach that he believes can get the most out of them.
Correct.
And that's where the focus is now going to go, directly on Dubas, outside of the players. And the players deserve the majority of it. They're playing. Mm-hmm. They get paid, and their efforts haven't been good enough. They've been flawed, but a lot of that is self-inflicted.
Yeah, they always say the last bullet is the GM or the coach. So
he's used up his bullet here.
That's right. Your bullet's gone, so go ahead. Let's see what you got.
Right. And if Keith cannot get this on the you know, upswing and get it going here, and this isn't like you have 3 years to do it.
No.
Sheldon Keefe can't come in and say, you know, there's pain coming.
No.
I'd find that humorous if he did,
yeah.
But I don't think he's going to do that. Everything's going to come back to Dubas. What did you build? What did you sign? Is your philosophy flawed? Is it going to work? Can it work at the NHL? We'll find out.
Well, it is fascinating times. I mean, like, you know, there's nothing around the Leafs that ever goes that is, you know, that isn't a big deal. And you had the highest profile coach in the highest profile city. And this is all that anybody will be talking about for the next little while. I mean, there's no way this doesn't ripple across the league. Or more than ripple across the league today.
Well, how would you describe the Babcock era? Now, I know it's fresh, it just happened, but I don't think it was a total failure at all.
Not
I mean,
at
he
all.
Got them into the playoffs three consecutive years.
100-point seasons.
Yeah, they were...
I would say he brought credibility.
Yep.
He brought determination, organization, a big voice. The team, I'm convinced this team didn't have the road, the plan that they got onto. They didn't have that when Babcock took over. Once they won the lottery, I mean, everything changed. And then all of a sudden Tavares is an option. Like, that wasn't part of the plan. Like, things got sped up, and I don't think they were good enough for them to be sped up that fast. And ultimately the expectations outgrew what this roster could do. And Mike couldn't find a way to get the team to start quicker, for the special teams to be better. And by the way, don't forget another thing for Kyle Dubas here is, you know, they changed out the assistant coaches this year. That, you know, that is, those are Kyle hires, right? A lot of that went through Kyle. So the special teams under Haxtell and McFarland have been rotten. And so, you're the head of it all. And he couldn't get that last or next stage of development to continue. And he paid a price. He's still got 3 years at $6 million coming. So he's, he's going to be fine. But I'm sure today he feels really disappointed, because I've known Mike for a long time. And, he's obviously, as competitive as all can be at everything that he does, and it would hurt that you couldn't get the job done.
Wouldn't you think?
I'm not terribly surprised that they came to this conclusion. Maybe a little bit early, but for my thought. But man, it's got to be brutal.
You have to think other coaches around the league are thinking, "Oh God, Mike Babcock is sitting out there." Teams that are struggling, they must be thinking,
"Well, does Seattle have a coach?"
No, they don't. And he would probably be that guy, that veteran guy, to go into that situation. Who knows? Any team that's struggling, the coach is like, oh, God, now I'm really on watch, because this guy's sitting in the waters right now.
Depends on.
Yeah, I would think they'd all want all the. Sorry, Noodles. I was going to say, don't you think the coach is like when all the big names are tied up somewhere?
Jeez.
Yeah, they do. It depends on to the organization and how much they want to spend.
He might just take the money and the years. I don't think he's going to sit on the sideline for 3 years. That's not who he is or what he is. He's never been fired, though, at the NHL level.
No, but did
he not get fired in Anaheim?
I thought he left to take the Detroit job. I thought he just, I'm out of here kind of maneuver. I don't remember. He might have been.
I don't think he coaches this season. Do you think, is there any chance he coaches this season?
I say he does, because I think there's enough bad teams that are just looking to pull the trigger on something.
Yeah, I don't.
But he's not going. He's not going to a bad team. I think if he's going anywhere, he's going to a good team that's underperforming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about it again tomorrow.
You think so?
Chances are.
Yeah, we're here till midnight now.
Yeah, we're going to still be on the air. It's a radio call now.
I feel like Rupert from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. We've been on, we haven't had a break.
No, I'm fine, man. I could go all night.
Oh, yeah. Let's fire this up.
Look over if Noodles puts a wine cork on a fork, and you'll know he's going to poke his eye out next to watch him.
We need a porta potty in here.
Yeah. Well, that's next. Don't worry. We'll set you up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll set you up. All right, buddy.
Okay, boys. We'll talk tomorrow.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For the month of November, receive free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle that is financed or released. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland, MapleToyota.com. All right, Craig Button will be in studio. I want to read this quickly. Mike Babcock has issued a statement. So we'll read it, and then we'll come back and we'll respond to it. It's a lengthy statement. Larry Tannenbaum talked me into going to Toronto. I would have never gone until I met Larry. He's one of the finest people I've ever met, had an absolute riot, and met another friend for life in Lou Lamoriello. I thought we did an amazing job taking a franchise from where it was to where we had 100-point seasons. We set franchise records, if I'm not mistaken, got into the playoffs. I'm disappointed we didn't have the start to the year we wanted, and that's on me. I want to thank the fans. I want to thank the media. I want to thank the city. It was spectacular. I loved every second of it. And I wish the new group nothing but success. Morgan Riley has been here the whole time. I can't thank him enough. And all the players I got an opportunity to coach, it's been fantastic, and I wish them nothing but success, end quote. No mention of Shanahan, no mention of Dubas.
Yeah. Larry Tannenbaum, Shanahan's the guy that hired him.
Yep, well, he claims that if it weren't for Larry, he never would have come. And Lou Lamoriello was a friend for life, but Shanahan, I guess, not mentioned. Dubas, not mentioned. Morgan Riley mentioned, not Matthews, not Marner. We'll come back and recap that statement. Again, breaking news this afternoon. Mike Babcock has been fired. Sheldon Keefe hired as the new coach of the Maple Leafs. Craig Button in studio next. All right, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Reluctantly, and he's not happy, We have to move Jerry's percentages to tomorrow.
Wow.
He's pissed. He's not happy. Nobody upstages Jerry.
He chirped us.
He might not do it.
He might just say, I'm out. Quit. I'm out of here. So Jerry's percentage is tomorrow at 5:30. I know people are driving around saying, gotta hear Jerry.
I know.
But when there's breaking news, there's breaking news. Mike Babcock has been fired as the head coach of the Maple Leafs. Sheldon Keefe, the new head coach, starting tomorrow night. Craig Butner, hockey analyst in studio. Craig, you've been in these rooms before. You've seen this before. You've been around the game for a long time. You know, you've been saying coaching change is probably necessary.
Code red.
Code red.
Yes.
I mean, code red was Saturday.
Yep.
But I didn't see a great response last night. I thought they were okay. But
well, let's go back to Saturday, Brian. You mentioned code red, and that performance was gross. So behind the scenes, what do you think goes on as far as preparing for this moment that happened in Arizona apparently today?
So what I would say to you is that after the game Friday night, okay, so the team...
That gets the wheels in motion?
I think it does, Jeff. So the team put in a pretty decent performance on Friday against Boston. They made some mistakes, right? And you're looking and you're, as a manager and leadership, you're, okay, maybe there's something positive there. But to me, Saturday sealed the deal. Saturday was the code red. Saturday was the one that said, this ain't going anymore. I do not know this to be true, but I think that the wheels started in motion after Saturday's game. Keep in mind, there was a Hall of Fame induction on Monday night. I don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs would want to, usurp that. Yeah. And I think that that's a great amount of respect. But you start to look at who is the replacement. I always say this, it's not easy to say we're going to change the coach, but the next step is who replaces him.
Okay, and so Sheldon Keefe is the guy that replaced him. When do you think, because I know that when Peter Laviolette replaced Paul Maurice, he was put on notice a couple weeks before saying, you got to watch this team because there might be a move and you got to figure. Yeah. So when was it like you got to figure out what you're going to do with this, and you're on notice because this might happen?
Yeah, and that's a great question. So Peter Laviolette wasn't working. Did I emphasize that that was a great question?
Spectacular question.
No, but like Peter Laviolette wasn't working. So, it's easier.
Well, he's on notice for everybody.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it's easier when Jim Rutherford was able to call him in and say, hey, take a look at this and do that, right? Sheldon's coaching his own team, right? If you do it, how you do it, I mean, it's got to be totally clandestine if you do it. Right. I think it's difficult to do. What you're trying to, in that position where Kyle and Brendan are sitting there trying to look at it, you're trying to say, is this the guy that we think can make an effective change for us on the ice in the terms of the way we play? I said this just earlier. One of the big beefs I have, I hate, when I hear, we play the same system in the minors that they play in the National Hockey League.
It's not possible.
Right, well, so Sheldon Keefe's going to bring the same system they've been playing that's got him to this point? No way.
I'm pretty sure Sheldon Keefe was told by Mike Babcock, you play this system because when they come up here, they know what it is already.
Jeff, you're a smart hockey player. Did you need to have been told we're going to shift to a 1-2-1 or a 1-2-2? Like, to me,
I could do it between shifts.
The minor leagues are about research and development.
Serious.
It's true. Belichick does it. Football coaches do it all the time.
You're right. The players are smart. Third period. Okay, fall back into a 1-2-2. Okay, not that hard.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I never, when I was running, we always use it as research and development. Try this. Try this on the power play. Try this on the penalty kill. Try this on the forecheck. And you want to develop your players. If you have smart players, they pick up things like real quick. So I can tell you, I know what Sheldon's background is. I watched him in Pembroke. I watched him in Sault Ste. Marie. So Sheldon, he wants to be on the attack. And not just on the attack, like, coming up the ice. When you have the puck in the offensive zone, what are we doing to break down opponents in the offensive zone? See, for me, the Leafs, and Mike kept talking about this, we had lots of offensive zone puck possession. Doesn't matter. It matters how you get inside the dots. It matters how you attack into the net. Sheldon's teams did that. They did that at the American League level. They did that in junior. He had success with it, right? So, when the team goes to the Olympics in 2014 and you have the best players on the planet and you play keep away, like, give me a break. Like, that doesn't work in the National Hockey League. And I think that was a big part of taking away from the offensive potential of this team. So that's what I want to see from Sheldon. I've seen it previously, and I think that that's something that can make a material difference to the skilled players on this team.
We talked to Ray. What do you think the first maneuver is when you go in there for him? Is it pull aside Austin Matthews? Is it John Tavares? I mean, what's the first maneuver?
I know what I'd be doing. What I'd be doing is, hey, Austin, you ready to play 22 minutes? John, you ready to play 21 minutes?
How about this? You ready to penalty kill?
Well, wait a sec. That's systematic.
That?
I'm systematic.
I understand
that's another
that,
thing.
But
that's got to be fixed too. And your defensive zone discipline, positional discipline. Like it's not one thing. But just to answer about the key players. Buckle up, boys. You're going to be playing.
Well,
you saw what Daryl did with Jerome Iginla.
Yes.
I brought Daryl into Calgary right away. It was like, you guys are the lead dogs, and you're going to play lots. And you other guys, you better know your role, and you better be good at it.
Right.
He was very clear in defining what everybody's role was going to be. I'm not suggesting Mike didn't do that, but that's exactly what I'm doing.
Breaking news this hour. Mike Babcock has been fired. Sheldon Keefe hired as the new coach of the Maroons. Craig, before we get you out of here, Shanahan and Dubas are going to speak at 6. This is a very unique situation because of the expectations on this team. These guys have been in the organization for a long time. These are not new GMs who don't like what they've seen and the coach is out. They believe they've invested in a cup contending team. It's still November. Sheldon Keefe doesn't get a grace period. He doesn't get an off season. How do you think they're going to handle that? Because they're going to get posed that question at 6. Is Sheldon Keefe a savior? I mean, how do you believe they're going to essentially describe what he represents?
They wouldn't have named him if they didn't believe that he was the guy that could get them to realize the potential that they feel that the team has fallen far short of to this point in time. There's no way they name him unless they believe that. But I love Sheldon Keefe. I think Sheldon Keefe is a very good, promising head coach. But I'll tell you what. What a place to start your NHL career in a spot.
Right.
Like it really is. This is a significant challenge, and I am not going to suggest that he can't, but it's going to be very interesting to see if he can. But to me, this is an opportunity, and you're right. You better hit the ground running, and you better come in there right away ready to put your imprint on this team of how we're going to play.
He's got to manage egos, money, all of that. In the AHL?
Yep.
Those guys they do anything because the coach still has the hammer, can get them called
up.
If he's got to manage one thing, if he doesn't look at what they're doing in their own zone and make some kind of change to say, this is ridiculous, let's get back to some fundamental basics here that are like peewee hockey school type fundamentals.
Right.
He's flat out nuts if he doesn't want to adjust that.
Totally agree with you, Jeff.
Because it's nuts. It's flat out nuts what's going on in there.
Yeah. All right, Craig. Good
thanks,
buddy.
Yeah.
I think you got to fly.
We're on here till midnight. Come back.
Yeah, feel free to circle through whenever you want. Good seeing you, Craig.
Anytime. I'm here all night, too.
All right. There's Craig Butner, TSN hockey analyst. Again, Mike Babcock has been fired this afternoon. Sheldon Keefe hired. I agree with you that defensively, clearly, that's a priority.
Yeah, right. Just go through the goals and say.
But, dude, offensively, they're not getting all these grade A chances either.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is not a snake bitten team.
Yeah. After that, Brian, you go to the power play. Oh, the power play is going to get us
everything.
That's
a problem.
That's not doing it either.
They are 9-10-4. They have 6 wins in regulations against brutal teams.
Right.
They have given up the first goal in 18 of 23. I did not forget that. I'll still hook you up.
Right.
But man, there's a lot of problems.
It's a lot of work.
This isn't just this.
The
part
only
of
positive
the ice.
He's got going for him is this is as bad as it can get, and that's your record. Like, you're still kind of hovering around there, but it's going.
But it is.
They are giving him enough time to get this right.
Exactly. You've got 59, let's just say 60 games to get it sorted out. But you will get that bump. But when the dust settles, this group has to play the way that he wants them to play. And that's not going to happen overnight. But I will agree. I agree with all of you. Why not do it with your top players on the ice every second almost? Like, you do pull aside Austin Matthews and say, he may not be playing 25 minutes a night by April, but it's going to be 25 in the first 2 weeks.
Don't even worry about practice the next, but the rest of the year. You're going to play 23 minutes a night.
My only worry about this is the AHL is, you know, it's a great league. It's a great developmental league. But the NHL, like, everyone's good.
It's a win league.
And it's a win league. And the Marlies, they flexed their financial muscle. There were times where their payroll out-payrolled other teams they were playing by millions. So, you know, Sheldon was dealing with a position of strength down there. I think he's a good coach, too. But you're going now where the plane is even. The salary cap is even.
Absolutely.
You know? Like, he's got Austin Matthews and John Tavares and that, but, you know, they're playing Arizona. Arizona has great players. It doesn't matter. Every night, He's in for a war.
The standings in the American Hockey League are totally irrelevant.
Yeah,
they're totally irrelevant.
Based on his jump to the NHL.
Exactly. That doesn't mean he's not a good coach.
No, not at all.
I mean, they've hired him because they believe he's a good coach. Mm-hmm. They believe he's the right guy. Dubas clearly has had this guy in mind since the second he was hired. But listen, this is Kyle Dubas' team now. This is not Mike Babcock's team, because that was always a debate. You know, how much say does Babcock have in who's going to play, who's on the team?
Right.
Now you're going to see somewhat of a baseball relationship, GM and manager, where I believe Dubas will be involved in Sheldon Keefe's decisions. They'll be talking it over. Like last night, we pull the goalie when we're down a goal and we have a power play late. Yeah. The numbers indicate that's what you do.
Yeah.
That's what this team is going to be coached like. This is what their philosophy is going to be. Sure. I don't know if it's going to work, but I would suggest it's in their best interest to fully commit to it, because they've been half pregnant for a year and a half. With Babcock in him being set in his ways, mm-hmm. and Dubas clearly looking at the game very, very differently.
Wow.
So I have no problem with the move, but it puts pressure on a guy who's never done it before in the NHL, and Sheldon Keefe, and it's going to spotlight what Kyle Dubas is about.
That's what you said. Like, to me, Kyle Dubas probably went to Brendan Shanahan and said, I'm thinking about a move. And Brendan said, no problem. Like, this is your team, but just so you know, there's your bullet. And if this doesn't work out, I'm going to have a conversation with
you. Well, let's be honest. Based on, we detailed this earlier in the week. We ranked players, coaches, GM, and we said all three of them are in the same ballpark.
Right.
In terms of who has the blood on their hand and who has failed the team so far.
Correct.
I think we'd all agree the players come first and foremost because they're on the ice.
Right.
And they've underperformed. But I detailed what Kyle Dubas has done since he's taken over. And so far it has not been pretty.
Right.
So far, the standings would indicate that. The salary cap would indicate that.
Yeah.
He can't find a backup goalie. He's traded away two first-round picks. Now, there were reasons for it, and I understand it, but that's just a fact.
Yeah.
Since he's been on the job, and now he's fired a guy who's going to go into the Hall of Fame.
And you trade those first-round picks understanding that this was going to be a year where it's like you don't care about a first-round pick.
Exactly. It's a 25th pick. Maybe the 31st if everything works out the way it's supposed to.
So that's why you do that.
But the people saying, like, you know, 1 year to the day that Craig Berube and that, like, I don't see this team as St. Louis. I still think this team is, you know, I think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're a top three team. I still think they're a wild card team. Like, the way they're constructed. Now, maybe Sheldon can get them to play different. But Justin Hull is still Justin Hull.
He's
not, all of a sudden, he's not putting on somebody else's jersey tomorrow.
Cody Ceci is still Cody Ceci.
So, like, their bottom of the roster is still.
And that's on Dubas.
You know, it still is what it is. It's just you have to find a way to be a little bit more creative if you're the coach then.
Absolutely. Because you don't have any leeway.
Yeah.
This is not, hey, we're bringing in a guy to, you know, whip the horses for 15 games and say we're not happy with you. They're bringing in a guy for 59 games to get them into the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what's at stake. We'll continue to break down the news of the day. Mike Babcock has been fired. Sheldon Keefe will replace him behind the bench. Again, Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas will be speaking at 6 p.m. We will play that for you live.
It might be spooky.
It could be spooky. It's a spooky day here in Toronto based on the way the Leafs are playing. But it's a new era. It's the Sheldon Keefe era. It's the Keefe and Dubas era.
I'm just happy for you, buddy. You were here for it.
Yeah.
You would have been sick too. Today, and it would have been a mess, and you would have hated it.
I would have retired.
He could have been in a hospital bed. He would have jumped out of the bed.
I would have fired you. No, I would have said to Jeff McDonald, fire him.
You should.
No, if you were in a hospital bed, you would be like that college coach. You'd be down here in a hospital bed.
You would have been FaceTiming us from your bed.
Yeah, I would have been bothering you to put me on.
Yeah, for
sure. At the very least.
Yelling and screaming.
Like, I would have
did that before.
I have demanded that you call me.
Really?
When I've been off.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, when I was away, when Kawhi left, I said, you got to call me. And I called in, and 20 minutes of just fire. I was yelling for 20 minutes.
That's awesome.
Anyway, Babcock out, Keith in. We'll continue to break it down all afternoon. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, again, Brendan Shanahan speaking to the media from Arizona. That's coming up at 6. You will hear that live right here on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN 4 and on TSN 2. Someone sending me a note wondering if Shanahan, who flew in, we believe, this morning, like, did he fly in on, like, West Wing, or what is it, Sun Wing, or Air Canada Rouge?
There's one
just
out
to throw
west.
People off.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't remember. There's like a West a Swoop.
Maybe
Swoop.
Flew in on Swoop.
There's one out west. I think it's WestJet Swoop or
yeah.
something like that.
I was the president, man. I would be like, give me the bird.
Not when you're firing a coach and you're telling the ownership that they got to pay out the rest of the contract.
So what, man? It's like take it off, deduct it from my salary.
Well, then
that's a $30,000 flight.
Yeah.
$35,000.
Shannon's got enough money.
One way?
Tell him to buy his own plane.
$35,000 one way? What the hell?
Depending on those, like he's
what,
not
putting
flying
drugs
on
that plane.
No,
$35,000 one way? No way.
No, that's probably why he wasn't on a private plane. Maybe he was. Maybe he flew in with Keefe on a plane. Maybe they paid for a private plane.
I thought somebody.
No, someone wrote me a note again,
that he was on a plane.
That
Joe
yes.
from the Bridge is cousin's brother.
Yeah, no, exactly. This guy was saying he's flying down to watch them play in Arizona.
And
he's like,
Shanahan was on the flight.
He said, Shanahan's on the plane. Now,
so he's not on the private
later,
bird.
Babcock's fired.
Right. Then I wrote the guy back. I'm like, well, they've lost six in a row.
I wanted to write you back and say, so what? Like, he's going to the game. Or
well, I wrote the guy back and said, you know, they've lost six in a row. I'm sure he's going down to check in and be like, I got to be here. Because if they get smoked tomorrow night, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Turns out he was flying down because he was about to...
Giving him the gate.
To give him the gate. Again, Mike Babcock fired this afternoon. Sheldon Keefe hired. Babcock has issued a statement pointing out his relationship with Larry Tannenbaum.
Yeah, and Morgan Riley.
Lou Lamorello and Morgan Riley. No Shanahan, no Dubas, which doesn't matter, because yeah. if I got fired, I wouldn't be ecstatic either. I wouldn't if I got fired and I thought Dubas was the guy that fired me, I wouldn't be like, man, I love that Kyle Dubas.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised by that.
No, not at all.
Of course, he's going to be a little bit jaded.
For sure. But so he made a lot of money. He did help this organization pivot.
It does affect his legacy, though.
For sure, it does. Like he's had a winning legacy coming into this city. Went out not a winner, technically. Didn't win a playoff round.
Never won a playoff game. Or a playoff round.
Playoff round, yeah.
I think that's like five coaches in a row that have not won a playoff round in Toronto.
That's not good.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Not good.
Like that's going back to Paul Maurice, there. Ron Wilson, Randy Carlyle, Peter Horacek.
Why are you lying when you say Peter? Why do you laugh when you say I love Pete. He had zero chance.
He was a great guy. Like he was
He's
a nice
awesome.
Guy.
I love that guy.
Every time when something goes wrong, you're like, oh, Peter Horacek?
Say Ronnie Ralston from now on.
All right,
Ronnie Ralston with the gardening
gloves. You got a problem with Ron Ralston? Yeah. Why do you have an issue with Ralston?
He went on the ice with gardening gloves in the National Hockey League. What do you think guys are going to respond to?
Horacek effectively did the way that he was operating
well,
this.
Well, it wasn't his fault. They were trying like hell to lose.
Yeah, they were.
That's when Jerry Sparks was starting a bunch of games down the stretch.
Was old Jerry coming up? Yeah, it was ugly at that point. All right, so the Shanahan press conference coming up live from Arizona. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050 to start the 6 p.m. hour. Continued reaction all afternoon. Mike Babcock has been fired as the head coach of the Maple Leafs. Sheldon Keefe behind the bench, the 31st head coach in Maple Leaf history. And he kicks off his career as a Maple Leaf head coach tomorrow night in Arizona. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.